Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya. And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. Happy first full day of spring. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you on this Wednesday in the fifth week of Lent here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Wednesdays, I always take a brief moment to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. We absolutely prayed a ton to Saint Joseph yesterday and invoked his blessing on our Give to Inspire Future Saints One Day Pledge Drive. It was an amazing response. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Relevant Radio family, for your amazing support and all your heartfelt donations to support the Merry Beggars on Relevant Radio and their ongoing series, The Saints' Adventures of Faith and Courage. We did reach our goal of $500,000 and then some with your tremendous support, no doubt through the intercession of St. Joseph on his solemnity. Here's the happy totals as we speak. Over $519,000 from over 3,500 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. The average gift amount was $145. Absolutely incredible, especially since it was something that we had never done before. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. I am so grateful here this morning for this amazing one-day pledge drive. No doubt it was a total team effort, guys.
Yeah, our thanks. Thanks to the world's greatest listeners showing up for a special one-day pledge drive, informing everyone about the Merry Beggars work through the Saints series, and hoping to inspire a new generation of saints coming up and share some the good news of Jesus Christ through what the Merry Beggars do with those podcasts, and also heard on the air on the weekends here, 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. But thanks to one and all for their support. Back to the regular stuff today.
Oh, yeah. We had like 3,000 people who donated, and that was just really amazing to hear the response. And I was had the pleasure of being in the call screen there for a little bit and answering some of those phone calls. So thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who helped support this work. And yeah, we're trying to do our very best to make sure that we're pumping out as many saints as possible. Oh, I shouldn't say me, because it's the Merry Beggars who are going to be doing that, but it's going to be exciting to see the new saints that they're going to be putting out every week.
And obviously, congratulations to the marathon, man. Peter Atkinson, the guy was unbelievable. Long, long day yesterday. He gave his heart. This guy gave everything he had all day long, hour after hour, with all of our show hosts. And in the end, they crossed the finish line. So very, very impressive. Congratulations to Team Relevant Radio, Team Merry Beggars, and everybody behind the scenes who worked so hard to make yesterday a great success.
Oh, yeah. Peter did a fabulous job. I mean, being on all day like that. In the ancient times of Relevant Radio pledge drives, there were just two pairs of us, Sean Harriet and myself, and then Drew and Wendy in the afternoon, each doing 6 hours a day, all day long, nonstop. And you know, that last, especially the last half hour, that 6 hour shift, you had no idea what you're saying. And, you know, and here Peter was doing 12 hours yesterday. So just a little inside baseball, hats off to Peter for a great, great day yesterday.
Well, it's definitely a passion project for him. So I'm sure it, you know, he was happy to offer that up because this is something that he's really passionate about, something he's really excited about. And, you know, he's got his own kids. So he knows this is the great importance. Yeah. He has the inside knowledge from being in the industry. So he knows that this is something that is needed. And people were responding. So we're all recognizing the same thing. So kudos to that. And good luck in the future.
And I'm sure that Saint Joseph was right there with him all day long. We had this beautiful little statue of Saint Joseph. It's my personal Saint Joseph statue that I keep in my office. We had it in studio yesterday. I gave it to Peter. He had it with him all day long throughout every one of the shows. And St. Joseph appeared back in my office this morning.
It wasn't that 6 foot one, was it, John?
No. Okay. And it wasn't the sleeping St. Joseph either. All right. In case you missed all the fun yesterday and our pledge party to benefit the Saints series here on Relevant Radio. For whatever reason, you can still give to inspire future Saints by making a tax-deductible donation. All you have to do is call 877-291-0123. You can also give online at relevantradio.com, or you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Hey, Glenn, real quick, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Wednesday morning?
Well, Texas wants it to be law that law enforcement officials can arrest anyone they suspect coming over the border illegally. That's been batted around back and forth in the courts. It was on for a few hours yesterday, and then once again now it's back on hold thanks to a three-judge panel at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's one of the things going on. Also, John, sad news, abortions way up over 10%. Last year they tabulated nationwide in 2023, that 10% jump. Especially in states, and this is since the turnover of Roe v. Wade, but especially in states that are kind of like abortion islands where neighboring states don't allow it, rates have gone way, way up.
Yeah, this is very disappointing news, and it'll be interesting to see as the numbers are broken down from a pro-life perspective what this Guttmacher Institute study actually means. On a much happier note, today is the first full day of spring. It's also the first day of the Major League Baseball season. MLB regular season is officially underway. The San Diego Padres are playing the home team to the $700 million man, Shohei Ohtani, and the Los Angeles Dodgers at the Sky Dome in Seoul, South Korea. The two-game series marks the first ever regular season games played in South Korea. So this is really exciting, Glenn, to see the MLB season. I don't ever remember it starting this early.
Well, you know, it's been so nice and warm, and now it's so funny in Minnesota that's going to change dramatically with several inches of snow expected tomorrow as well as on the weekend. But it seems like it's been baseball weather a bit, but certainly in Seoul, South Korea, they're doing it. And by the way, John, their bottom of the third, the Padres got a run in, so now into the top of the fourth, San Diego leading LA 1-0.
Well, thank you for that in-progress update. Appreciate the bottom of the fourth. Awesome. With the pods ahead of the Dodgers. Meanwhile, today is Won't You Be My Neighbor Day. Sarah, are we thinking about Mr. Rogers?
I don't know, John. Are you thinking about Mr. Rogers? I mean... Unless you're a Home Improvement fan, maybe you're thinking about Wilson, the neighbor. But I would say yes. Usually when you think about neighbors, you're thinking about this.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor.
Oh, isn't it a beautiful day? And I see you're not wearing, you know, you're not dressed appropriately here, John, because I see you're wearing a sweater vest. Nope, you're supposed to have the button down or zip down because that's the only way to do it on Mr. Rogers' Day.
Well, I am so sorry I did not get the memo in time.
It is red is a good color, though. He often wore a red sweater, so I'll accept that. Glenn, yours looks pretty good, though. I'm glad that at least you looked it up today.
I tell you, Mr. Rogers, revered in our household. My wife, just a huge fan of Mr. Rogers. And, you know, every once in a while, we'll talk about movies that can make a guy cry. And, yeah, that Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers, there were some, you know, kind of, you know, eye-glistening moments in that one, I think. he's just a beloved guy for, you know, just being a good guy and, you know, a good guy and a mellow guy, and the fact that our pop culture celebrated that. It doesn't celebrate those, you know, those kind of qualities very often.
Oh, yeah. And really just a very slow-paced television program, not super like wild and crazy like we're used to now. And they just thought, how would this possibly work? And it did. It worked for a very long time. And, you know, if he was still alive today, today's actually his birthday, he would have been 96. So 22 years ago, he left us, but his legacy lives on in the Fred Rogers program that they have. They still do a bunch of stuff today, including Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. They're still going strong, and the episodes are still available and still touching hearts.
And you are one of his biggest fans.
Well, I mean, I don't have a shrine or anything or any Actually, I do have a Fred Robbers Pops figure. So, okay, maybe I am a little bit. Now that I recollect, I am quite a little fan. I did not toss one shoe from one hand to the other when I got into the office and switch outfits, or shoes. But, you know, I could still, maybe I'll try that later today.
All right.
Yeah, I tell you, if you want a quick, you know, really impactful look into Fred Rogers, there's a particular, and I'll have to look this up maybe for next hour, a particular award ceremony where he won an award, and instead of, you know, thanking a whole bunch of people, and he's a very, you know, thankful guy, but he wanted to remind all the Hollywood folks in the audience, I'll watch the clock here. Let's take 10 seconds of silence, 10, 15 seconds of silence, just to think about people that loved you into being and supported you along the way. And, I mean, just that silence, encouraging people to quietly think of those that helped them on their way by him doing that. I mean, he had these powerful Hollywood folks brought to tears. It was great.
Yeah, it's funny because usually in silence for any kind of media is like death. Don't do that. But for him, he made it work. So, hey, yeah. Silence is not always horrible.
And so good. On this first full day of spring, it really is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. All right. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn. First things first, we always begin every morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every single morning on this show when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18. The Apostle St. Paul says, Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. St. Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing, that is, constantly. How can we pray to the Lord all the time? Well, one simple and timeless way is the traditional Christ-centered prayer used in the Eastern churches. It's called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. This is a powerful ancient prayer right out of the Gospels. It calls on the power of the sacred name of Jesus, in which we pray with our lips, with our spirit, and with our heart. We pray the Jesus Prayer all the time, especially here in these final days of Lent. So we continue to pray with great confidence from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, for the latest news on the Holy Father, Pope Francis. So stay with us. There is much more to come on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
To say I love you, there are many ways. To say I care about you, many ways, many ways. Many ways to say I love you.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air on this first full day of spring. Good morning. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in to Relevant Radio and our Relevant Radio app. And now, indeed, it is time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to our Rome correspondent, Ashley Nerona, from the Eternal City. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project in Rome, where they take people from knowing their faith to setting their hearts on fire with talks, tours, and spiritual direction, all centered on scripture, art, and beauty. They even have a special track to evangelize young adults. Just visit truthandbeautyproject.com to find out how you, too, can make your life a masterpiece in just 1 week with John and Ashley in Rome. Buongiorno. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us once again from Bella Roma.
Hey, buongiorno, John. Happy first day of spring to you.
Yes, indeed. It is a happy day. We've been waiting for quite some time, but here it is. Ashley, tell us about the main focus of Pope Francis this morning at his Wednesday general audience. How is he doing, by the way?
Yes. So, indeed, Pope was able to make his usual ride through St. Peter's Square this morning on a beautiful sunny day, and was waving to people, smiling. He needs, these days, he's in need of quite a bit of assistance to get in and out of his chair, for example. And he said to the audience that he was not feeling well enough to deliver his remarks. And so he asked Father Pierluigi Giroli from the Vatican Secretary of State to read those for him, John.
Wow. So that is multiple weeks in a row that he just hasn't felt up to reading his own homily.
Yes, indeed. And so definitely can see in the way that he's needing assistance to move around that he is feeling a bit weak right now.
And I understand he continued with his teachings on the virtues.
That's right. Exactly. He's been discussing vices and virtues, and this week talking about the virtue of prudence. He said that prudence is actually one of the pillars of integrated Christian living, along with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. And he described prudence as the ability to combine intelligence and creativity, simplicity and shrewdness. He said that it's a way to understand the complexity of situations. And it's also integral for evaluating possible solutions at times of difficulty. And of course, he referred to St. Thomas Aquinas' definition as well, which was right reason in action. And the Pope described the prudent person as somebody who is creative, as somebody who reasons, evaluates, and tries to understand the complexity of the reality and doesn't allow oneself to be overwhelmed by emotions, by idleness, by pressures, or illusions. And he encouraged all the faithful to practice daily prudence. He said that it's essential on one's journey toward heaven. And he encouraged all to become what he called intelligent saints by being prudent. And he finished the audience today by especially asking the intercession of Saint Joseph for wars going on throughout the world. He entrusted the cause of peace to the intercession of Saint Joseph. And of course, he has spoken about a special devotion that he has, a special love that he has for Saint Joseph. And of course, he dedicated that special year of Saint Joseph from the 1st of January of 2020 to the 8th of December of 2021. And specifically in this case, he asked for all to pray that all sides in warring factions would make every effort to negotiate an end to war. And he commended the war-torn peoples of Ukraine and the Holy Land of Palestine and Israel, who suffer so greatly, in his words, from the horror of war. He repeated that it's imperative to make every effort to negotiate how war can come to an end, John.
Well, we definitely thought of the Holy Father yesterday on the feast of St. Joseph. I every time I think of Pope Francis and St. Joseph, I picture the sleeping St. Joseph on his desk with his petitions underneath.
Yes, and it's quite interesting, of course, because he received his inauguration as Pope on this day. So it was a very special day, certainly in him, to him personally.
How was St. Joseph's solemnity celebrated yesterday in Roma and Italy?
Well, in a very big way. First of all, it is Father's Day in Italy. So this means that all dads are honored on this special day. And in Italy especially exists a deep devotion to the Father of Jesus, to Saint Joseph, especially since the 14th century. And in Rome, there is, you might guess it, John, there's a particular food. There's a dessert that is made on that day to remember Saint Joseph. It's a beignet or a cream puff of San Giuseppe. And one of the most famous traditions is linked to the confraternity of Saint Joseph di Falegname, the carpenter, and a mass was typically celebrated at that church of St. Joseph the Carpenter, which is outside the Roman Forum. And then street vendors would set up around it and sell those delicious fried cream puffs after the mass. Also, St. Joseph al Trionfale, the church there, would traditionally have a long procession dedicated to the saint, which ended with vendors frying up those beignets. And then down south in Sicily, the tradition came in the Middle Ages, where after a very severe drought in the island, which resulted in a famine throughout the island, Sicilian farmers and fishermen, they prayed especially through the intercession of San Giuseppe. And he answered their prayers. The drought ended. There was lush rainfall, and fertile crops then blossomed throughout Sicily. And so the people decided to have a lavish feast in the saint's honor on his feast day. And they prepared a table with a special assortment of those simple foods that they had harvested, as well as fish. And so this later became known as La Tavola di San Giuseppe, the Table of Saint Joseph. And the tradition later came that wealthy citizens of the area would create these wonderful, extravagant tables, especially for the poor of the town to enjoy. And then, John, another popular place yesterday on the feast of Saint Joseph was the Church of Santa Anastasia in Rome, which hosts the relics of the mantle of Saint Joseph and the veil of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which have been there for 1600 years. They're actually brought to Rome by Saint Jerome in the 4th century. And the story goes that this was Joseph's wedding mantle. And then there's a little traditional story that has blossomed around it, that Saint Joseph had given that mantle to a local lumber dealer as collateral in exchange for some wood for him to work on as a carpenter. And when he did, lumber dealer experienced healing. He experienced physical healing, as did his wife. Even the animals on his farm did. And thus came the understanding that anyone under the mantle of Saint Joseph would be protected. So as you remind us, John, especially on Wednesdays, go to Joseph.
Absolutely. And those cream puffs of San Giuseppe sound delicious. I'm just curious, is there a San Giuseppe gelato?
Oh, well, I think that there definitely needs to be. I think that maybe next year we have to create one.
All right. But one thing we do know is that spaghetti is yes, a big food. I believe it is the national food of Italy. Is that correct?
Yes, pasta. A day without pasta is a day not lived here. It is the staple food. If we're talking about lunch, dinner, there's never a saturation point for Italians with pasta.
And now there are reports of Italian food, including pasta, in outer space.
Can you believe it, John? Absolutely. So the idea is to bring Italian cuisine into space. And this new mission, the idea is to promote Italian cuisine as UNESCO World Heritage. So there are menus that have been created by Barilla, that name may be familiar to many. That's the pasta manufacturer that has been selling pasta in Italy for the last 60 years. And so their challenge is to create space food that has a similar texture, a taste, and a smell, so that it's true to Italian food. So the hope is that the Italian space food will be part of astronauts' pre-flight quarantine menus, as well as food to enjoy while they're in orbit. So in fact, in January, the Axiom Space Mission 3, they took along some Italian food for crew members to try it out. So the idea is that this is a way to share Italian cuisine throughout the world and beyond, John.
And I'm sure it was a big hit.
I am sure you're right.
Meanwhile, you have been traveling to station churches there in Rome every week. What's on tap this week?
Yes, well, it's a pleasure for me to be able to take you and our listeners on a little virtual pilgrimage to these station churches. Again, going back to that ancient tradition of visiting a different church throughout Lent in Rome. And two of the special churches that were visited this week were the Church of St. Crisogono and the Church of Santa Maria in Via Latta. And St. Crisogono is quite interesting because there's a very strong claim that this may be the site of the oldest purpose-built church in Rome. So the church built specifically for that purpose. And St. Crisogono was a 4th century military officer. He was martyred under Diocletian back in 304. And devotion to him became very popular in Rome. In fact, his name is included in the Roman canon. And after the persecutions of Diocletian ended, a large space was constructed on the site where we have the Church of St. Crisogono today. And many archaeologists see this as the start of these buildings that were specifically intended for Christian worship. It was built even before the Edict of Milan. And from that, then, further provisions were made at this on this building for liturgical functions. So one of the special things in having that station mass there was the church graciously allowed us to go down into that ancient church, to walk through that ancient level. And it's quite an amazing thing to be there, to touch the walls and to think of the bravery of all those who worship there, of course, during these times of persecution. And in that same church, we have the opportunity to venerate the incorrupt remains of Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, an Italian wife, a mother, a mystic who died in 1837. She was quite an amazing woman. And again, her remains are incorrupt there. And another special church this week is Santa Maria in Via Latta. And this church is the same one where it said that St. Paul stayed there for part of his time when he was living in Rome. Of course, Acts 28 tells us about St. Paul and his time in Rome. And archaeologists have found remains dating back to the first century there beneath the church. And it's thought to be part of that actual house where St. Paul stayed. And so again, the church opened that archaeological area and allowed pilgrims who attended station masses that day to go down and to spend time in prayer at the very stones where St. Paul himself would have slept, John.
It is absolutely fascinating, the history that exists there in Rome. As long as you've been there, I'm sure you probably haven't even seen all of the churches. There's so many to visit.
No, there's always something new and wonderful to discover, and I love that about Rome. You know, there's nearly 1,000 churches in the city of Rome. So it would, even if we went to a new one each day, it would take a few years to do that. And there's always wonderful new discoveries, relics, information about the saints who passed there. And it's wonderful, John.
Well, thanks to you, Ashley. We feel like we're actually there with you as you describe all the wonders of Roma and bring Rome to home to our listeners every week. Thanks so much once again for being with us.
Oh, John, I love the chance to bring you on a spiritual pilgrimage. God bless you. Thank you.
Grazie, grazie. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short break. When we come back on the other side, Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer of Catholic Extension, will be with us to talk about celebrating great Catholic women during Women's History Month. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Wednesday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. It's good to be with you on this Wednesday morning in the fifth week of Lent. In case you didn't hear us talking about it in the first part of the show yesterday, on the Solemnity of St. Joseph, we held our first ever Give to Inspire Future Saints one-day pledge drive, and we did meet our goal. Thank you for all of your support, your heartfelt gifts to support the Mary Beggar on Relevant Radio and their ongoing series, The Saints' Adventures of Faith and Courage. We reached our goal and then some. It was really just amazing. And I'm sure it was through the intercession of St. Joseph yesterday on his solemnity. Here's the happy totals as we speak here this morning. Over $519,000 from over 3,500 gifts from you, our Relevant Radio family, average gift amount of $145. So if you missed yesterday's pledge drive party to benefit the Saints series here on Relevant Radio for whatever reason, you can still give to inspire future saints by making a tax-deductible donation or by calling at 877-291-0123. You can do it online at relevantradio.com or on our Relevant Radio app. You can always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our toll-free line, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Now, throughout this month of March, in which we celebrate Women's History, Catholic Extension Society has been highlighting the voices and the contributions of great Catholic women, past and present. Joining us live from Chicago, Illinois, is Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer of Catholic Extension, to talk about the unique evangelizing power of women. Joe Boland and his team collaborate closely with the 86 mission dioceses that Catholic Extension supports. Good morning, Joe. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Joe, many of us know about the first American saint, Mother Frances Xavier Cabrini. Can you tell us about Catholic Extension Society's unique relationship with Mother Cabrini?
Yeah, she's one of the great women that we're celebrating this month, in this month of March, in which we're lifting up great women of faith. She was, of course, the first canonized saint of America. And as she did, as we all, many of us know, great work with the poor and the orphans and people who were suffering. Many who were coming over from Italy and were coming as immigrants. But the unique connection that Catholic Extension has with her is that our founder preached at her funeral. And so we just have been pulling that sermon out of the archives and sharing it with people and realizing that as he was preaching at her funeral, just, you know, 4 days after her death, he was already recognizing, saying, I think we all know that we have a saint on our hands. So he was really predicting what was going to happen, in that she would be canonized and that it was something that was widely recognized. And he was also calling her a pioneer, and she really was a pioneer of her time. You know, in her era in which she was working and ministering in the United States, women couldn't vote. You know, they oftentimes didn't do work outside the home. They didn't necessarily have access to a lot of educational institutions. And here you have this great woman of faith pioneering 70, almost 70 institutions, schools, hospitals, orphanages. So she really was a pioneer. And that's something that our founder, Father Francis Clement Kelly, when he was preaching at her funeral in Chicago, was talking about. And of course, it's a legacy that we continue to celebrate today. So Mother Cabrini, St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, is just one of those great women that we're privileged to at Catholic Extension lift up this month in Women's History Month.
And Joe, you probably remember the old Columbus Hospital right there in Lincoln Park in front of Lake Michigan. I was actually born in that hospital founded by Mother Cabrini, and it's the site of the current National Shrine of Mother Cabrini.
And it's a beautiful place. I was just there recently. I would encourage anybody, if they're ever passing through Chicago or they live in Chicago, It's a great place to go visit. There's a little museum there where you can kind of get in touch with the life of Mother Cabrini, but also just an exquisitely beautiful chapel there where you really feel the presence of that great saint and the movement that she started, which was really a movement of mercy and one that really we're all being called to continue, is to be a church of mercy, one that puts the gospel in practice. And as Pope Francis likes to say, mercy is the beating heart of the gospel. And so she's a great saint for our times. And it's an example that we can continue to follow. And we feel that presence when we go into that beautiful shrine that is still there today.
And Mother Cabrini is one of the many women religious that are powerful prophetic witnesses of the church that Catholic Extension Society has been supporting for a long time. Can you share with us a little bit about your work with the religious sisters who serve the poor and the vulnerable and bring that mercy to so many people?
Yeah, religious sisters for us, well, the way it's best described, it's a prophetic witness. Religious life is a prophetic witness of the gospel put into action. And we have witnessed that throughout the 118 years that Catholic Extension has been in existence. It's not a surprise that some of the most frequent partners of Catholic Extension to do our work to help build up vibrant and transformative Catholic faith communities among the poor in the poorest regions of the United States have been women religious, because they, for so many years, and continue to be the boots on the ground for us. And so we think about those many, many generations of women religious who worked out on the frontiers of the United States in the poorest communities. They were always working with Catholic Extension. And even if those religious communities aren't around anymore, the thing that they did that was so important is they shared their charism with the local people. So even if there weren't sisters anymore to staff the particular ministries or institutions that they were starting, so often they were continued by the lay people who took up their charism, which was to work with families, work with the poor, catechize. And that's the beautiful thing that we continue to see. And of course, the other phenomenon that's occurring in our country is that there's about, several thousand religious that continue to come to our country as missionaries from other countries, from the global South, from Africa, from Asia, from Latin America. And so Catholic Extension has continued to work with those sisters who come to our country as missionaries, and they continue to bless our church. They continue to be a presence that, really touches not only families, I would say, especially women, but also young people. I've watched young people have contact with women religious and be absolutely inspired by their presence and have themselves committed themselves to lives of service. And so it's an institution that continues, and we continue to be blessed, and we're grateful at Catholic Extension to continue to work with so many women religious and support their ministries around the country.
Want to open up our phone lines and invite our listeners, if you have a favorite saint, or if you want to give a shout out to a great Catholic woman in your life, we would love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer of Catholic Extension, at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Joe, can you talk about how Catholic Extension Society is supporting the vocations of lay women in the church, and maybe some of the biggest contributions that you have been seeing from lay women in these days?
Yeah. Well, we have a saying at Catholic Extension that you follow the women who follow the risen Christ. We're preparing our hearts right now for the joy of Easter as we, round this final corner of the Lenten season and ultimately, the Triduum. And we're about to celebrate the joy of Easter. And what is it that we know about Easter is that it was women who first encountered the risen Christ. And so, I think that paradigm continues today. We see in so many places, especially lay women, this notion of first encounter, that they are the believers, the staunch believers in a community around which so often church communities are built. And for us in our mission, that is especially true in the poorest regions of the country, oftentimes where there's not a presence of priests or, you know, not a resident pastor. You will see communities anchored around a strong woman of faith. I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, I was in Puerto Rico and I went to a small mission chapel in the mountains outside of Ponce, Puerto Rico. And I met this woman. Her name is Lucy, 90 years old. She told me she's been working at the parish for the last 80 years. So she said since her first communion, she said that for many years before there was a road connecting her to her little mission chapel, which is in the hills of Puerto Rico in the mountains, that she used to have to cross a river to go to church. And so she would literally cross the river, you know, when there was no bridge, walk through the water to come to church. And I just thought about the unbelievable commitment of an individual who today is kind of the lay coordinator of this community and for eight decades has been that symbol of the continuity of the presence of faith. And that's the type of support that we're providing, is supporting these little mission communities, supporting the education and training of lay women who are the anchors in these communities and really truly the evangelizers within faith communities throughout the United States. So it's such a privilege to be able to work with so many strong women of faith and to be able to see the power of what they're able to do in communities to help not only live out the faith and be an example of the faith, but also share it with other people.
Joe, are there any women that really stand out in your mind? I know every year you guys honor many different folks who contribute to our church here in America, but are there any women that maybe you might want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, well, first of all, just in a personal way, people always have joked with me that blessed am I among women because I come from a family where I have five sisters and no brothers. So I just grew up around great women of faith and think about, you know, my mother, my grandmothers, my godmother, all women of faith. And I think that really has stayed with me throughout my life. And I just feel so deeply touched every time I'm able to befriend through my work at Catholic Extension, other great women of faith. And, you know, I just came across some women who are working out in the desert in California. They're in the Coachella Valley, and they are also serving in a small little chapel where there's not a resident pastor. The pastor drives in for Sunday Mass. And so they're kind of the lay coordinators there. And they have written such beautiful spiritual stories of their lives. And I found myself reading that just as kind of my spiritual reading this Lent. And again, I think it's just another example of how women have this beautiful faith. And what's so wonderful about it is they're willing to share it with others. And so these women in the desert in California are not only sharing that faith with their local community and leading religious education and leading the activities in their community, but they're also sharing their great story of faith with people like me from without, so from outside the community. So it's just these are the type of people that are in the trenches every day, great women of faith, who are the backbone of the church, who are really pushing the church forward each and every day. And we're just so privileged to be able to lift up their witness this month.
And I'm sure that all of these great women of faith have had a special connection and devotion to the greatest woman of them all, the woman clothed with the sun, our blessed Mother Mary, the queen of all saints, who serves as a great example to any woman who is striving to serve the Lord.
That is absolutely a thread throughout. You know, you see such strong devotion to Our Lady, women who really find in her strength for what they need to do every day, not only in their families, but also in their ministry. And certainly I see the presence of Our Lady accompanying these communities, especially communities that are struggling, that don't have many resources, they are strengthened by the power of Our Lady's intercession that comes to them every day. And you just see that power when you walk into these communities. So that is absolutely the case.
And of course, our church has had such a legacy of great Catholic women throughout the years and the centuries. Just to name a few, St. Therese of Lisieux, the Little Flower, Mother Teresa, more recently of Calcutta, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Joan of Arc, and the list goes on and on. And those women continue to inspire the women of today. Joe, as always, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
Many blessings to you. Joe Boland, the Chief Mission Officer of Catholic Extension. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called Power and Authority by Ken Klaus. A year or two ago, a friend of mine offered me a ride in his custom Corvette. That machine was beautiful to look at and impressive to sit in. Riding a few inches off the ground, my friend put that contraption through its paces. In first gear, I was thrown back into the seat. In second gear, it felt like the G-force was stretching my face, just like that of astronauts during a blast-off. In third gear, we blew by an 18-wheeler like he was standing still. It was fantastic. Then, when we were doing about 1,000 miles an hour, I might be exaggerating there, we came upon a parked police vehicle. The vet slowed down. The 18-wheeler slowed down. Everybody slowed down. And that's the point. The vet had power. The 18-wheeler with a full load and a big diesel engine had power. But that parked police car, it had authority. There are in this world a great many groups, individuals, and organizations that have power. They have the financial, political, or logical clout to impress us, seduce us, and intimidate us. But when it comes to authority, that's different. It's different because when things are said and done, all of us have an authority. One very special authority, who stands head and shoulders above the rest. He is the voice to whom we listen. He is the person in whom we will place our confidence. The evangelist St. Mark records a day when Jesus was teaching, and the people who heard him recognized his message, came with a unique authority, an authority unlike anything they'd heard before. True, like us, they had known some brilliant people, some fast-thinking, shrewd, knowledgeable people, but none of these people could compare with the words they heard coming out of Jesus' mouth. Now, Mark's event's not the only time such a thing happened. There are other situations when Jesus' authority was obvious. When he cast out demons, his authority was noted. When he stilled a storm, his authority was obvious. When he died, yes, even in dying, his authority could not be hidden. From the Roman centurion, truly, this Jesus is the Son of God. But you, my friends, have been blessed to see more than a man do miracles or die a noble death. You have been there to see Jesus rise from the dead. In that moment, the ultimate power and authority of God did for you what you could never dream of accomplishing. Jesus defeated death, and he did it for you. Thanks be to God that we have such a blessed authority. From Mark 1:22, the people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to discuss why we undergo two judgments after death, the particular judgment and the final judgment. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, the CEO of Leading Giants, will join us to talk about seven components of influence. So stay with us. There is much more to come on this Wednesday edition of Morning Air here in the final hour. Stay tuned here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.